Contentment is handily defined in the glossary at the back of the book. If you're not familiar with the glossaries, they have wonderful information in. So contentment in the glossary is defined as being satisfied with one's outer and inner conditions, motivated by a virtuous intention. Being satisfied with one's outer and inner conditions, being motivated by a virtuous intention. So normally, I think, when we think of contentment, we think just about outer conditions. So maybe we, you know, maybe our home, you know, is not as luxurious as we might ideally like. Maybe we don't have as much money in the bank as would be comforting. Maybe we don't have, you know, whatever it might be. Maybe our job isn't quite what we hope for. But we're like, but that's fine. It's no big deal. It doesn't matter. You know, there's a famous story that Venerable Geshe-la tells in Joyful Path of Good Fortune on the topic of contentment about a beggar who finds a jewel. I don't quite know how that happened, but anyway, he finds a jewel. He finds some precious stone. And he's a beggar. And suddenly he has huge wealth in his hand. And he thinks about it and thinks, well, actually, though, I'm quite all right with my life. Like, it's, you know, I'm a beggar, but, you know, I've got, you know, some sort of hovel where he lives and he gets enough food and he's... So this is actually going to be a problem. Like, if I hold on to this, this isn't going to do me any good. Then I'm going to have all sorts of hangers-on and all sorts of issues, and actually this is going to get really complicated. And I don't know anything about money. I don't even know what... So he thinks, I don't actually want this. He's happy with his life as it is. He doesn't want it to radically change. So he thinks, who am I going to give this to? Most of his friends are also beggars. And he thinks, well, I don't want to give them this. They're happy really with their life. And this will just unsettle everything. You know, that's not like an ancient situation. Like, lots of people who win the lottery go on to say, if you've watched any of the documentaries of the 10 years later or 20 years later National Lottery documentary things, there's people who say, the worst thing that happened in my life was winning the lottery. Everyone else is jealous of them. All of their neighbors and family members are like, ooh, we'll have a bit of that for you. And that's the worst thing that happened. Lost their friends, lost their relationships, lost their balance in life. It can be a disaster. Eventually, the beggar takes the jewel to the king. And the king is delighted. He's like, oh, this is fantastic. Thank you so much. I'll put it with all my other ones. And then he's like, well, hang on a minute. Why are you giving this to me? And the beggar says, I couldn't think of anyone poorer. Because you have a treasury full of these and you still want more. You're the poorest person I could think of, so I thought you were the most deserving. So we normally think about contentment in terms of contentment with outer conditions. Or there's a common thing, you know, like British people are famous for the stiff upper lip. You know, we get sick and we're like, that's all right, it's not too bad. You know, legs drop off, and like, oh, I'll put that back on. And, you know, there's all these sort of things where we just stoically carry on, not grumbling, mustn't grumble, you know. And there's something positive about that. So long as you're not repressing too much, you know, there can be something good about, you know, just carrying on regardless. But the interesting thing I want to raise out here is being satisfied with one's inner conditions. Inner conditions basically means our state of mind. And that's a much more profound thing, to be content with what's happening inside our mind. And a lot of us aren't. This is actually quite a profound practice. How can I be happy with who I am on the inside? And he's saying, you know, friends, the things you desire give no more satisfaction than drinking seawater. Therefore, practice contentment. When he's saying the things we desire give no more satisfaction than drinking seawater, he's not saying don't go after them, don't enjoy anything. What he's saying is find real happiness, find something that's going to give real refreshment. Like we're by the sea and we're drinking the seawater when there's a freshwater stream just next door. And he's saying there's fresh water right there, there's fresh water right there. But there's a bit of work involved in getting there. So there's a stage where our inner conditions aren't what we would like them to be. where our mind isn't as comfortable as we'd like it to be. Even, for example, when we do the breathing meditation. We start doing the breathing meditation. We sit, we breathe. We don't immediately become still. We don't immediately have that sort of unveiling of this beautiful inner stillness. There's a stage where we're just sort of sitting there with thoughts going through our mind. And we're getting a bit restless. And part of our mind is saying, what are you doing this for? Just switch the telly on. That's fun. Catch up on that season of things that you haven't watched yet. Why are you sitting there trying to not think when you could have someone else take away thoughts by just watching something or listening to something or eating something? Or similarly, you know, one of the analogies that we sometimes use for the journey to enlightenment is like climbing a mountain. And at the top of that mountain, at the pinnacle of the Mount of Enlightenment, we can see everywhere in all directions. It's the most beautiful, insightful experience that is imaginable. We become like a radiant sun, shining happiness into the lives of everyone we care about. It's an extraordinary experience, but it's a fair journey to get there. And in the analogy of climbing the mountain, some of that journey, you know, the elements are going to crash down on us. It's going to be hard work. There's going to be difficult times. There's going to be bits that are a little bit uncomfortable. And what Atisha is saying is, be satisfied with the inner conditions for the purpose of eventually arriving at something deeper. So with meditation, don't give up easily. Stay the course. Don't think, oh, I can't do this, and give up. You know, maybe from last week we were training in patience. I don't know how your week went. Maybe there were days of wonderful harmony and stillness, but maybe also there are moments of rage and fury and irritation. Often when that happens, we get upset with ourselves. So there's something uncomfortable inside, and then we get upset with being upset. We get unhappy about being unhappy, and we think, oh, I can't do this. I'd rather not know about my mind and give up. And so Atisha is saying, don't do that. Don't sacrifice the journey to rich, lasting happiness for the sake of something insubstantial, fleeting, that isn't truly satisfying. And of course, we could apply that in so many areas of our life, but particularly on the spiritual path. What he's saying is don't be deceived by something that seems easy and effortless when it's just fleeting.